For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Venezuela, a broken, failed, terrified state of people the ones who haven't fled want to. Ruled by a cruel man named Maduro, who claims to be president. He is not. During the summer of 24, there was an election, and it was very carefully monitored as much as anyone can. And the elected winner was a man named Gonzalez, Edmundo Gonzalez, who is in hiding from the cruelty of Maduro, who is illegitimate. In addition, over these last weeks, we've had the news that the State Department and the United States' authority had named Nicolas Maduro the head of a drug cartel called Cartel of the Sun. Drugs and guns and people, all kinds of sadism. However, the United States has been at odds with Maduro for many years, in the first Trump term and now the second Trump term. What is to be done? Part of the answer looked to be a very powerful flotilla dispatched by the United States, somewhere between Puerto Rico and the coast of Venezuela, four or five major warships with lots of cruise missiles, a submarine, and a marine expeditionary unit, in addition to a Coast Guard unit that is said to be able to interdict drug running in the Caribbean. All of that adds up to a stage set that needs to be solved, because within these last weeks, we've had the report of three or perhaps four alleged drug boats intercepted by the U.S. military, but the interception is not stop the boat, inspect, arrest. It's a missile attack or a drone missile attack and use that we can all witness on video. I welcome John Yu of the University of California at Berkeley Law School, as well as the University of Texas Civitas Institute, writing most recently at the Washington Post about the decision of the Trump administration to open fire against an alleged drug boat with alleged drug runners on board, as opposed to the old-fashioned way, which was to stop, inspect, and then arrest if necessary. Professor, a very good evening to you. The whole thing is extraordinary, given the scale of the geopolitics of this. But right now, may I read your piece carefully and see that we need to talk about war. War is the question. Are we, the United States of America, at war with Venezuela? Why is that important, John? And what is to interpret these last days? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Great to be back. I think there's an important difference between war and crime. And we have to make sure that the United States is not using military methods to address garden variety crime. That the Constitution, our laws, consider the use of the military, the use of deadly force, as you said, John, without trial, without arrest, only for cases where the United States is confronting a foreign enemy. Or to put it in other words, the United States is not at war with drug dealers. It's not allowed to shoot without trial just anybody on the street corner selling drugs. It is allowed to use force and to go to war with foreign enemies. They don't have to be nations. Drug cartels could be like terrorist groups. And we have decided since 9/11 that the United States could be at war with terrorist groups. That war is not just reserved to nations either. That unfortunately, there are enemies in the United States that can take other forms. But what we don't want to do is to go so far as to think that we should be using military methods, use of deadly force, use of our troops, against what are really persistent, ever-present social problems like crime or like illicit drugs. And the reason I wrote the piece personally is because I was at the Justice Department on September 11th, 2001, when we, as a country, first confronted this question, whether we should consider the methods and tactics of war to be suitable for something other than a foreign nation. And on September 11th, I was one of the people who advised that the United States could, that Al-Qaeda, the terrorist group, had become so powerful that it could hurt the United States in the way that a nation could. So the question for us with Venezuela is, are these drug running boats, is this just like garden variety crime? Or is it really the activity of an arm of the Venezuelan government or drug cartels that have become as powerful as a nation?
There is a fact that I have from a guest of mine, regular guest, Alejandro Pina Esclusa, who's a member of the opposition in exile in Spain. His home is Caracas, but he was jailed for a year and released, and because of events, found it wisest to take his family and himself to Spain, but he's in regular contact with the opposition. And I learned from him that Ms. Corina Machado, the leader of the opposition, and Edmundo Gonzalez, the elected president of the country, communicated with the United Nations, and I believe the United States, this fact: please arrest and detain Maduro. Please consider military intervention if necessary. Save us. Now, is that significant because Gonzalez is the president? Maduro is not. He's giving permission to save us. Does that in any way influence decision-making when it comes between war and crime?
It could, in the sense that, and that's a really hard question, John. It really complicates it, but it could in the sense that maybe what we're seeing in Venezuela is a civil war between the democratically elected government, you know, the people you have interviewed, and basically this drug cartel are allied with people in the military who have overthrown that democratic government, refused to allow it to take office, and are fighting. The United States is allowed then to take sides if it wants to engage in the civil war, to use military force on the side of our allies. It makes it easier to consider this a military matter if we're intervening in a civil war, rather than to get confused by thinking that we're actually just at war with drug dealers. And the United States has done this in the past. You know, we have, I think, several times aided democratic governments that are in conflict, in civil wars in their own territories. And I don't think there's any doubt in those cases. For example, Vietnam, that the United States is allowed to use the military, that the laws of war apply, not the laws of crime. And you know more about Venezuela than I do, John. It sounds like that is what's going on in Venezuela, too.
It's a very good analysis of what's going on. They haven't used the term civil war because they're the government. One more twist. Trendy Aragua, that's the name of a gang. There are several gangs that operate in that general area. The next door neighbor, Colombia, is now ripped apart again by narco-terrorism, and with a President Petro who's allied with Maduro, but is a very sick man, probably an addict. We're looking at a whole region deteriorating. So there's some sense of urgency here. I want to be careful and not make glamorous statements. But Trendy Aragua is said by the opposition to be working with the government, such as it is in Maduro, the regime, to undermine the credibility of the United States. They actually make this allegation, the opposition, and I've not seen anybody refute it, to come to America and undermine the credibility of the American government. In other words, to make war on not just Venezuelans or Colombians, but the whole of the Americas, in order to make it available for the narco-terrorism gangs to prosper. Now, that's a case. I'm not proving it, John. But does that influence the decision-making about whether it's war or crime?
Yeah, yes, I think it does. And I think, actually, the Trump administration has taken the same attitude that you're suggesting. They actually have issued an executive order and gone into court and said under oath that the United States intelligence community believes that Trendy Aragua is actually working on behalf of the Venezuelan government, or is so intertwined with the Venezuelan government that we have a state of war, that Tren de Aragua is actually committing hostile acts against the United States, both here and abroad. I've been saying that the Trump administration should provide more facts. They're going to have to in court in order to make sure that everyone's comfortable in the claim that this is not just a drug gang, it's not just like the mafia, but the Tren de Aragua is actually acting on behalf of Venezuela in some way, on behalf of the Maduro regime in some way. And if that's true, then what really is going on, it seems to me, is that the United States and Venezuela are in some kind of state of war. That the United States hasn't, as you said, it has a lot of assets offshore of Venezuela, but the United States hasn't done as much as it could if it wanted to in that state of war. But the minimum is allowed to start using force to try to stop Tren de Aragua from attacking the United States, from sending drugs to the United States, infiltrating people into the country. Because what's really going on is that the United States and the regime in control of Venezuela, I think, are really at war. And then that justifies the uses of force.
I'm speaking to John Yu, Professor John Yu of the University of California, Berkeley Law School, as well as the University of Texas Civitas Institute in Austin, Texas. We're speaking of a piece that he posted at the Washington Post and that has been picked up by Civitas Outlook for Civitas Institute. At war, when we come back, if we're at war, is it necessary for the Trump administration to go to the Congress and ask for a declaration of war? Would that open up the gunfire without these questions of its appropriateness or legality? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.